Life is a journey. It can take you in many directions. Unexpected things can happen, and when they do, it's nice to know that someone's there for you. No matter where you're going or what you need, at Jovia, we're here to help with convenient banking, great rates, and friendly service. Now that's something to smile about. Jovia Financial Credit Union. Bank on the bright side.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori. And my guest is Craig Annis, the Chief Brand Officer for the United States Golf Association. Hey, Craig. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I know you're at the U.S. Women's Open at the Olympic Club, which is a great venue for the U.S. Women's Open, for sure.
Absolutely. It's got a storied history. We've never brought this championship to this course, but we're so glad, feel fortunate to be able to host it here at the Olympic Club. It's been just fantastic in rolling out the red carpet for the players, for the USGA, and for this major championship.
Now, I know you're responsible for shaping and growing the USGA's reputation, brand, and voice through a fully integrated approach. You oversee communications, marketing, content, creative services teams. I mean, that is a huge job considering that the USGA organizes 16 national championships. It's not just the U.S. Open and the U.S. Women's Open. I mean, it's incredible how many championships that are a part of the USGA schedule every year.
Absolutely. I feel super fortunate. I feel like I have the best job in golf and pinch myself every day that we're able to work on such great things. And promoting our championships is a big part of what we do. As you say, I mean, we have championships, national championships for every level, from juniors on all the way on up to seniors at the professional and the amateur level. And so it's wonderful. All over the country, at some of the greatest courses in the country, with the greatest players in the game competing for them. And I think what's so special, too, is the openness of our championships. Which is really in our DNA. I mean, these are the most open championships in the game of golf. So if you have the game, you can qualify. You know, if you qualify and get in, you have a chance at winning. And it's just there's just so many wonderful historical elements of the openness of our championship and how people have progressed on to hoist the trophy on Sunday at any given one of the 16 that we have. And so it's pretty special to be a part of.
Absolutely. I've covered many U.S. Open and U.S. Women's Open. I think at last count, you had 33 amateurs who had qualified to play in the U.S. Women's Open this week.
That's right. And we expect them to be exceptionally competitive in the field. And that's what's so amazing about an Open Championship. Literally anything can happen. You know, you can be an amateur who's stepping onto the course the first time for the U.S. Open. And be competitive, or you could get somebody from who's been in the professional game for a while and maybe hasn't won or won in a while and they emerge. It's part of the history of this championship that's now 76 years old.
Well, there's always compelling stories, and I know a large part of your efforts have been creating programs that shine a brighter light on women in the game, and that is a tough task, but it seems like you're making a lot of progress, so I give you a lot of credit.
Well, thank you. I mean, look, the women's game is sort of caught in this cycle, you know, where we have a lot of media outlets that aren't seeing a direct return on investment when they cover the women's game. And likewise, you can't really build household names and tell great stories without media coverage. So we feel, so fortunate to have an organization like yours taking the time to promote this championship, these women who are competing. But it's something that's really important to us as a fierce advocate for the women's game. You know, we're trying to work to break the cycle, to get more media, you know, covering the game, to shine a brighter light, to put more marketing dollars, more communications dollars, you know, to lead in purse, you know, to lead in player experience and to bring this championship to the greatest golf courses so more fans can tune in. I think as we progress against that, fandom will grow and that cycle will shift. And so that's really what we're trying to achieve. And we're so we feel great about the response that we've gotten from players and the media and fans who are tuning in to this fantastic championship this week.
I mean, I'm all for equal opportunity for sure for women in sports, equal prize money, equal media coverage. I mean, you're talking to a woman when I was in school. I grew up in a small town in Ohio. There were no sports programs for girls in my junior high except for cheerleading. Thank goodness for Title IX because, Craig, when I got to high school, there were varsity sports, and I competed in four sports every year and earned 16 varsity letters. So I am a Title IX baby, and ever since, I've been a huge proponent of growing opportunities for women overall and for women in sports in, you know, specifically. And but, you know, it's also a matter of economics, and, you know, it's difficult to increase prize money when there's a lost revenue, you know, when you're staging an event. So what's the answer?
Well, it's a great question. It's one that we grapple with every day. I mean, look, the reality is that we invest in any given year about $10 million. I guess, you know, if you're a binary way of thinking, invest can also, you know, be called losing money, right? We lose money in it, and we do, because we lead in purse, $5.5 million, the largest purse amongst the majors, and we go to the greatest courses, and we invest in the player experience and all those things because it's important to us and to our mission to champion and advance the game as an entirety, but also, obviously, the women's game as well. And we know that, you know, while the economics might not be there now, it's up to organizations like the USGA, the national governing body, to push the envelope and to see, you know, what's possible. And I can say we're quite proud of the fact that we don't not only lead in purse, but as we've led and as we've increased that purse, others have followed. And there's more purse money now in the women's game than ever before. But that doesn't mean that we're going to sit, you know, and rest on the accomplishments or on our laurels, but really to continue to push the envelope. So it's something that we're thinking about. How can we bring this championship to the storied courses, frankly, where the men play? If you talk to the players, they'll say unequivocally that they want to play at the classic iconic courses, and they want to play where the PGA Tour plays, where the professionals play. As one example of their game, you know, being, you know, at its highest level and as a way to get fans to tune in. But purse is also important, and that's why we're committed to continuing to lead in purse. Our long-term objective is to deliver equality, but we know it's a journey. It's not going to happen overnight. So we're going to keep making incremental investments in the purse, and we're proud to do it, and obviously encourage others to join us in that.
Sure. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight, obviously. So the winner this afternoon at Olympic Club will earn $1 million from $5.5 million. The men's U.S. Open the following week in Torrey Pines, the winner will receive $2.25 million out of what? A purse of $12.5 million. So, look, these you can't hit that number overnight. And I mean, you know, compared to where the women were, what, about 10 years ago? It's a huge improvement, right? So you have to look at the positives. And, you know, Eamon Lynch in Golf Week wrote about the USGA possibly signing a presenting sponsor of the U.S. Women's Open in the future, which could be the answer for, you know, some of this financial disparity. What are your thoughts on that? And I know you can't talk about it until it actually may or may not happen, but the USGA hasn't. It's really the only major that doesn't have a presenting or a title sponsor, right?
That's correct. Look, and I'd say this. We continue to remain curious and to engage with our current and potential corporate partners where there's a direct link to our mission. As I said, our mission is to champion and advance the game. If there's a potential partnership that helps us serve our customers better, players better, golfers at large, fans, if it helps it increase the prominence of a championship, then it's something that we will seriously consider. You know, we recently brought in Century to help with a handicap system. So when you post your score, you'll see it's sponsored by Century. We've brought in, you know, corporate partners like Rolex, who by the way, you know, because of Rolex, you're able to watch the Women's Open uninterrupted this week. No TV commercials, which is just fantastic in terms of the ability to tell stories about these players, these athletes. And so we'll continue to engage in conversations and we'll think through it. And if there's a fit, it's certainly something that we would absolutely consider.
Is there a reason why perhaps the USGA has held out in terms of maybe bringing in these kind of sponsors for these U.S. Opens?
No specific reason. Again, it's about finding a fit. It's about aligning with the mission and the vision and, you know, and the strategy for a championship or a program, a product or a service. So, you know, it's, again, something that we're curious about, and we'd certainly consider if it's the right fit.
Right. I know on the LPGA calendar, you have the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. You have the Amundi Evian Championship, the Trust Golf Women's Scottish Open. You have the AIG Women's Open. So, I mean, it makes sense if that will kind of help the cause, right? But I'm sure, you know, there's a ton of issues that you have to deal with. So, anyway, so let's move on to Mike Wan, who transformed the LPGA as their commissioner for the past 11 years. He's taking over as CEO of the USGA soon. I'm sure you've worked with him in the past. How will the two of you work together, do you think, to continue to make progress for women?
All of us are excited to welcome Mike Wan to the USGA family. He'll be starting in July 1. He just recently resettled his family in New Jersey. He was, has been starting to engage with our staff over the last couple of weeks as he begins his transition from the LPGA, and certainly as his successor has been named. Look, we're grateful for the contribution and the impact of Mike Davis, and we're also equally as excited for what the leadership of someone like Mike Wan brings. He clearly is a brand-centric leader. He's been on the forefront of elevating the women's game, and we look forward to what that can mean for us, not only on the women's side of the game, obviously the men's side with all of our championships, but also with our programs, our products, and our services that we deliver for the game of golf. He's a dynamic leader. You can't be in the same space as Mike Wan and not feel his energy and want to work with him, partner with him under his leadership. So we're all excited for July 1st for him to come on board. And also it's going to coincide, frankly, with us going back to the office. So we're based in New Jersey. Our office has essentially been closed for the last 14 or so months. And we're looking to start the reopening process right around the time that Mike joins us. And so it'll be great to be in the same space and to get settled with a new CEO.
Sure, that's great news on many fronts, that's for sure. So we're talking to Craig Annis, the USGA's chief brand officer. And, you know, we're talking about growing the women's game and the women's purses, the professional purses. I was reading a release that the USGA put out recently, and you have this Driving Equity Grant Program. That's just one of the many programs. Can you talk a little bit about that, Craig?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so basically last year, we decided to support the Women Worth Watching campaign, which was really led by an organization called She Is Sport. We joined the collective. The whole idea is to shine a light on the problem. And the problem is that roughly 4% of all media coverage is focused on women's sports in general. As we look at women's golf, it's slightly higher than that, which is a great thing, but it's certainly not high enough. And so last year was really about raising awareness, using our channels, using our platform, using our championship to help people understand that this is a real opportunity and frankly a real problem. This year, it's about taking action. And so we were thinking, you know, as a governing body who hosts these championships, who's helping to shape the future of the game, what is it that we can do that's really tangible to help move the needle? And where we landed is to say, you know, we hear from media outlets on a regular basis that they don't have the resources to send a reporter to the Women's Open or to the Women's Amateur or to the Girls Junior. And while you can certainly cover championships from afar, and there's a lot that we do to facilitate that for the media, the reality is you can't replace the sort of that special connection that the media has when they're in the arena, when they're connecting with players, when their stories are fed, you know, being fed off the energy of the competition. And so if we can close that gap, that financial gap, you know, pay for a ticket, a flight, a hotel room, a meal, help the outlet or the individual be able to have the resources to be able to cover the championship, to tell these stories. Because we know that it's that story, that powerful storytelling element that is frankly one of the big missing links, right? In terms of the opportunity to create fandom, to connect fans personally to these athletes, It takes powerful stories, which takes, you know, in a traditional space, column inches, right? Or time on the radio or time on TV or website traffic. And so we want to be part of trying to close that gap incrementally. And so our commitment is to create this Driving Equity grant program where outlets and individuals can apply for a grant to cover costs associated with covering these championships in women's golf, ours or others, frankly. We want to help move the needle in any way that we can. And so we're excited. We announced it the other day. Our inboxes are full of applications of people that are really excited about it. Yeah, so we're looking forward to seeing the results of that in the coming months and years.
Well, it sounds great. I applaud your efforts in all these programs that it seems like you and your team are initiating. So hopefully in the near future, we will see much more than only 4% of sports media news coverage featuring female athletes, which is just mind-boggling to me. I get so upset during the weeks, you know, when I can't find the leaderboard or I can't find stories on, you know, in major newspaper outlets and wire outlets about the professional women's tournaments. It drives me nuts. And I know that's been happening for a long time. So hopefully with some of these programs that you and your team are initiating, Craig, that may be alleviated and more reporters will start paying more attention to these incredible athletes. I played in many pro-ams with some of the women athletes, and they are such good players. They're just amazing, and they're just getting better and better. These young girls are just so strong and so good. It's just mind-boggling to me how far they've come ability-wise and technique-wise within, like, the last, 5 years?
Absolutely. As I said, phenomenal athletes. I mean, to watch them compete, to watch them practice, to see the shots that they shape, the club selection. I'm in awe. I'm in awe every single time I walk onto a range or by a practice putting green or I'm out on the course watching them compete. It's just fantastic to see. And look, this course, is no joke. You know, it has a storied history. It is a difficult, difficult course. You know, we've had the men here several times. You know, it's been, you know, above or around par in terms of the overall score. You know, we'll be interested to see what women will do out here this week. They've honed their craft, and this is a chance for them to put it on display for fans who want to see, you know, the greatest in the game compete.
Absolutely. The Olympic Club, just a brutal test in every way you can say it, with high rough, small greens, side slopes. it's going to be fun to watch the greatest female players tackle it on, you know, the final day on Sunday. So thanks so much for your time, and I appreciate your work that you're doing for the USGA.
Well, thank you, Anna. And listen, we appreciate your work. You've been a champion of the women's game for a long, long time. We're grateful for the work that you do, the light that you shine on these phenomenal athletes. So thanks for having us on, and thanks for your continued coverage and support.
Thanks so much.
Life is a journey. It can take you in many directions. Unexpected things can happen. And when they do, it's nice to know that someone's there for you, no matter where you're going. Or what you need. At Jovia, we're here to help with convenient banking, great rates, and friendly service. Now that's something to smile about. Jovia Financial Credit Union. Bank on the bright side.